going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
In a short while, I will sign a bill to open our government for 3 weeks until February 15th.
It's the long-awaited statement heard around the nation. The partial federal government shutdown is coming to a difficult end, at least for now. We know how the past 35 days have been. But what are the long-term effects of for federal workers, the president, and the nation? Well, we're talking about that tonight with Dr. Greg Carr, chair of Afro-American Studies here at Howard University, and Democratic strategist Nicole Williams. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. And specifically tonight, we would love to hear from those federal government workers and everyone else who has been impacted by this shutdown. Are you breathing a sigh of relief? Or are you still holding on to concerns about what will happen after February 15th? Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Carr, good to see you.
Always good to see you, Brother Fisher.
And Nicole, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. Nicole, can you hear me? Okay, Nicole, we're gonna get you squared away. Dr. Carr.
Yes, sir.
Let me first talk to you about this. What was your first reaction when you heard that the shutdown was coming to an end?
Well, I think we all know it was a matter of time. I think what we saw today was the beginning of the breaking of Donald Trump's political back. Vox.com wrote something this evening and said, you know, it's interesting. What this shows is Donald Trump is subject to the same laws of political gravity as any other politician. It may not have appeared that way, the way mass media has shown it. And the other thing that occurred to me, you know, this is the first time that the GOP agenda has been impeded. This is really the first fruit. This is really the first fruit of the election several months ago. Remember, they had full control of both houses of the legislature and the executive for 2 years, and they didn't fund Trump. Mitch McConnell and his crew wanted judges. They wanted their tax cut, and they let this guy do whatever he want, but they kept him at arm's length. Now, with Nancy Pelosi in charge of the House of Representatives, this is the first time that the GOP's agenda has been impeded. And I don't think that this is going to continue much longer. Trump is not as useful to them as he was even 24 hours ago.
Nicole, what do you, you're there?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, how are you? Thank you so much, by the way. What do you think was the pivotal moment that caused the president to acquiesce beyond, or I should say not beyond, but today, instead of allowing this to go into yet another week?
Right. So I think we had just a convergence of a lot of different things that occurred. You had pressure from Senate Republicans who were getting antsy about the shutdown, folks getting calls from their constituents. You had the air traffic controllers talking about the consequences that were going on today. I mean, LaGuardia Airport had to shut down because of the lack of air traffic controllers who were showing up for work, unable to get to work because they haven't received a paycheck in weeks. And so, and then in addition to this, you have the, you know, indictment today of his good friend, Roger Stone. I think all of these things combined came to a head to kind of get the president to say, okay, enough is enough, and I'll take the deal that was offered 35 days ago.
And by the way, we do want to report that the House has just approved the bill to reopen the government. That measure is going to the president for his signature, and he is expected to sign it right away. That means that the Monday through Friday federal government workers will be going back to work on Monday. Those that work in other critical jobs that those that work on the weekends, for example, will be going back to work on starting tomorrow. So certainly good for them. And one of the other things that we need to mention in the event that you did not hear, for those of you who are wondering, when are we going to get paid? Because mm-hmm. today was a payday.
Yeah.
And they missed it. Those paychecks will go out in lump sum. Those two pay periods will go out next week. So it is expected that everyone will be caught up, at least as it relates to your pay, before next Friday. So certainly that is good news for them. One of the things that is, you know, particularly disturbing, Dr. Carr, is that these past 35 days and in particular the past 2 weeks began to look like the Great Recession and the mortgage crisis. Your thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't think there's ever been, it's an open secret that Donald Trump is thoroughly unqualified to be in any type of political leadership role. This came down to one man, and he shut this government down by itself. And then when you hear his cronies, fellow wealthy people like Wilbur Ross over at Commerce or Larry Kudlow as economic advisor with these utterly absurd suggestions as to what these workers should do. By the way, even getting paid in lump sum is not going to take penalties off of your late rent or any type of, you know, penalty you're paying. What you're really seeing is people who should not be in government. And when you see Mitch McConnell, McConnell has held out as long as he could because he, again, with the judges, the tax cuts, he has an agenda that his funders have told him to pursue. And this is the first time that Trump has gotten in the way of that steamroller. And of course, they lost the House. All that hasn't been said. They threatened to throw this entire economy into reverse. And when you start thinking about that, this isn't enough people saying, oh, wow. But I'm not just talking about the guards at the Smithsonian who are making $32,000 a year who need their paycheck. I'm talking about folks who have retirement plan money where they could lose stock because the stock market could go down. We're talking about, but it's all, again, it comes to one person, Donald Trump. Because of a mnemonic device that Roger Stone them told him to repeat so he could remember to talk about being scared of non-white people. And as a result of this one man, you could have an entire national economy begin to recede. And if that happens, there's nobody in the White House that has the remotest of ideas how to do anything about it.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the government shutdown coming to an end. Back to work for some 800,000 federal government workers who were not working or working without getting paid over the past 35 days. If you were impacted, I'd like to hear from you. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Jay. Jay, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Herman,
sure.
How's everybody?
And it's Harold. It's Harold.
One of the things that I think is happening is Robert Mueller is squeezing the noose. I also think because he said most of the people were affected by the furlough were Democrats, of which PG County is like the fifth largest employer of federal workers in the country. And so to have statements like that, to know that he's being investigated, and to allow the people who, I mean, why are these guys who are in office saying things like it's Secretary of Commerce, like, they should be taking loans. No, we're not going to take loans. What we're going to do is we're going to get the people on November 6th out of office and put people in office who don't cower to you, like Nancy Pelosi, who told you you're not going to use this house. I mean, I guess speaking to him is really essential because the day after she told him he wasn't speaking there, he said, okay, let's make a deal. And so ironically, to the country and to the benefit, thank all the people who have participated in helping us eat and help pay rent and just all the gifts and joy and generosity of the American heartland.
Yeah, how about that? Jay, thank you so much. What about that, Nicole? He made a really interesting point. This past week has really raised the profile of Nancy Pelosi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Nancy Pelosi did a great job of keeping the Democrats in line She stayed firm as to what their position was. And I think if you had to say if there were any winners or losers out of this, I mean, she definitely showed why, you know, she was the best choice to be reelected as Speaker. And so, I mean, I think she definitely can check this off as a temporary win for now. I mean, we still got to get through the next 3 weeks. But she has definitely shown why she's probably going to be named as one of the best speakers that we've ever had in our country. So,
yeah, interesting point. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the end of the federal government shutdown. If you've been impacted by the shutdown directly or indirectly, we'd like to hear from you. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kim, calling from Columbia. Thanks for calling, Kim. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm calling on behalf of government contractors.
Uh-huh.
It's definitely a relief that we're going back to work. I'm told that we have to wait for a letter of return to service, I guess. So we haven't even really gotten that, but you may get it in the middle of the day on Monday. But the relief really isn't all the way there because, as contractors, the bill was not signed for us to get our back pay. And I don't really think the rest of America knows, you know, it's beyond that 800,000 that they keep speaking about. There's millions of contractors and subcontractors, and then the line just, it just trickles down as far as how many government contractors will not be paid, and we'll still be in, you know, dire straits for the weeks to come.
Help me with a little government contractor 101, Kim. Are you a subcontractor, or do you have a business that contracts directly with an agency?
No, I am a contractor for a contracting business.
I see. So that, and correct me if I'm wrong, when you get paid by the federal government, it's not every 2 weeks, it's not every 30 days. Sometimes it's, what, 60 days, 90 days, something like that?
Right. So it depends on whatever the contract, you know, with the government was. So my agency, we are paid. I am an employee of that agency, so I am on a biweekly.
Okay.
So it just depends on who you're with and what contractual basis they're on.
Mm-hmm. So you're not expecting to get a lump sum next week, or are you?
No, we will not be paid that. Well, that, again, it depends on the contracting agency that you're with.
Mm-hmm.
They have already gotten their pay. And so, or at least they have signed contractually to get their pay. It just depends on whether, you know, they as the contractor want to pay us for this whole month that we've been out.
Yeah, and a lot of that depends on how big that contractor is and and how deep their pockets are.
Right.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, Kim, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I really
thank
appreciate
you.
It, and you definitely hang in. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We want to hear from some of those federal government workers who are breathing a sigh of relief tonight as the 35-day-long partial government shutdown comes to a close. If you can't get through, please keep trying. We're going to take as many phone calls as we possibly can at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And if you're on the phone, please do not hang up. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, channel 141. You will be able to hear the program, and we'll be talking to you in just a bit. I'm Harold Fisher. Stretches in for Jeff Brown with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. But we will continue this conversation on Sirius XM, channel 141. We'll be back at you in just a bit.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about the long-term effects for federal government workers, the president and the nation, as the partial federal government shutdown comes to an end. We're talking about that tonight with Dr. Greg Carr, chair of Afro-American Studies here at Howard University, and Democratic strategist Nicole Williams. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Carr, is there anything over these 35 days, as you kind of look at the entire picture, that really surprised you, whether it was about the president, whether it was about the negotiations or lack thereof, or even about the impact on workers, the American people? Your thoughts?
No, not really. I mean, again, it was an absurd situation caused by one man. So even as it is playing now, this is a temporary shutdown. As we were talking to Kim, as Kim was talking to you, it made me think about the fact that some of these contractors may not come back. Some of these folks, I was reading an article about some folks who work with NASA who could get paid two or three more times more in the private sector, who may decide public service work is just, they're just not going to risk it because this is a temporary kind of a stopgap.
We're only talking 3 weeks.
That's exactly right. But, yeah. You know, I suppose if something surprised me, maybe yesterday when the six Republicans crossed the aisle, one of them was Johnny Isaacson out of Georgia. Now, we know the Super Bowl's coming up, and I heard Keisha Lance Bottoms the other day saying they were going to open the TSA lines at 3 a.m. down there in Atlanta.
The
mayor of Atlanta, right. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why Isaacson crossed. But I also think he's got his left eye on perhaps being challenged when it comes time to run again, maybe by Stacey Abrams. The thing that might, there may be some Republicans, forget Susan Collins, I'm talking about in some of those traditionally Republican states in the South, who may now realize they can't keep running up behind this solid GOP keep their seats. That was a little surprising to me. But other than that, no. I mean, this is the world we live in right now, I think, Eric.
What do you think about that, about the surprising politics of all of this, Nicole?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Harold. Can you repeat the question?
I was just asking, what was the thing that surprised you politically during these past 35 days? Dr. Carr was talking about six Republican senators who crossed the aisle to vote for the Democratic bill, and some of the other political dynamics that have come up over the past 35 days.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely saw, kind of a crack with the Republican stronghold with some of the congressional members. And I think one of the things that's kind of on the back burner of some folks is that we are going to have elections again in 2 years. So for all the representatives that are going to be up for reelection in 2020, as well as certain key senators that are going to be up for election in 2020, folks like Lindsey Graham and other folks, who come from either states where there is the potential of, a strong Democratic turnout, or in states that are kind of more purplish in color. And so I think that was kind of in the back of people's minds. You know, the polling was definitely out there, like that was said earlier, that was showing the president's numbers going down and down. More people across the country every day were blaming him more than the Democrats for the shutdown. And we've seen this time and time again with other shutdowns, how it's always affected the person who is instigating, so to speak, the shutdown to occur. Mm-hmm. And so it'd be very interesting to see. I mean, the other day I was watching something where it was a Republican in Michigan who voted for Donald Trump, who was extremely frustrated about the shutdown and what was going on, and for the first time started questioning, his support of Donald Trump. And Michigan is a very key state when it comes to 2020 in terms of Democrats winning back the White House. So.
Yeah, you make a really, really good point, because, of course, Donald Trump did win Michigan, which traditionally goes Democrat. So
right.
Certainly something to think about. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Melinda calling from West Virginia. Melinda, what's on your mind?
Hi. What's on my mind is, I feel that we should try to find a way to do away with the government. This shows how much power they have over our food supplies, our water, our money. I feel as though, Democrat, Republican, none of the parties are for anybody but themselves. I think we should try to come together and find a way to take our resources back.
So if we do away with the government, what would you suggest would be the alternative?
Well, I mean, I guess trying to find ways to, you know, grow our own food again and have more farms and find ways to spend money with each other. You know, instead of working for big corporations, you know, bring back the little mom and pop shops.
Yeah, you know, without a doubt, you know, a lot of those farmers have seen some of the difficulty of government control when it comes to tariffs and all kinds of other things, Melinda. So certainly you present us with something to think about. Let me go to Mac. Mac calling from Northeast D.C. Mac, what's on your mind?
What I wanted to do is just tell you about or talk about the effect that it had on the non-federal workers.
Go right ahead.
Psychologically, I mean, it was terrorizing because I thought that the Democrats were going to fold once again. And I was so glad to see that Nancy Pelosi stood up to the bully and let him know that we can't do this because we'll be doing the same thing again when he doesn't get his way.
Why did you think the Democrats were going to fold?
So why did I think that?
Mm-hmm.
Because of just, you know, like past action. It seemed like when President Obama was in that the Democrats would, you know, the Republicans would say, oh, it's called Obamacare. I'm like, it's the Affordable Care Act. Yes, it's called Obamacare by, you know, the disparaging Republicans, but we can't fold to that. Sell the health care program. Don't sit there and, you know, wait for them to disparage what President Obama has put in place.
What do you think about that, Nicole? Does it appear, and I think you touched on this earlier, that with the Democrats now in control of the House, and you've got, dare I say, this Iron Maiden of Nancy Pelosi really exerting her power and her control, do you think that really made the difference? Had it been perhaps somebody else, do you think it may have gone another way?
I think it does make a difference. You know, she understands, she's been around for a while, which is also the criticism that people have of Pelosi. But because she has that experience, I think she understands the importance of her role and the significance of the power that the speaker has and is able to wield. And so I think you're going to start to see a different tone, hopefully, coming out of the White House moving forward. Hopefully now they understand, you know, for the next 2 years, if they wish to get anything accomplished, that they're probably going to have to either go about it a different way, or we'll see if the president decides to do those things that Republicans criticize President Obama is doing and, you know, exercising his executive authority. I think there's definitely a shift in because of the change there on the House side.
Mac, thank you so much. What do you think about that, Dr. Carr? Do you think that we are going to see a change in tone from President Trump, or is this just a temporary reprieve? Because he still was talking about, I want my wall today, even though he didn't get anything
today.
Well,
you know, his rant today was thoroughly Trump, man, and whatever that little part Stephen Miller wrote, you know. But I see the politics, of course, of Sister Williams. I mean, this is her stock and trade. I'd say this, though. Donald Trump is unstable. He's easily confused. He's easily bothered. If I were a strategist trying to advise him about anything, and I think he's all really unadvisable, I might say to him, look, give them everything that they want and don't call for the wall, and then go out on the road again and tell them that you've got to vote for me so that when we get back in here and give me my House of Representatives back, we can get it. Now, of course, the stupid people who voted for him the first time will forget that the Republicans had the power to fund everything he wanted.
And it didn't happen.
And the money that they did put in with Democratic support, bipartisan support, he didn't spend, because ultimately Trump does not want a wall. Trump wants to be in charge. He wants to be on TV. That's why the State of the Union thing messed him up. He not thinking about a wall. Donald Trump wants to be the center of attention. If they were to cave on the wall, that takes his position away from him for reelection. The man is unstable.
Which goes back to, you made an interesting point today. Conservative activist commentator, and I use the term conservative loosely. Some people would
You're
say other things about Ann Coulter.
Yes.
She said that the president was a wimp. Ann Coulter and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, he listens to them. And I can't imagine just how biting that comment from Ann Coulter is for the president, particularly since, conservative or not, we know how the president has treated women and arguably how he thinks about them, and to have a powerful conservative voice call him a wimp, Nicole, I'm sure was a dagger to the heart.
I'm sure it did, and but he has to learn that as president of the United States, you might not always make everybody happy. You know, sometimes doing the right thing means doing the right thing and not necessarily, you know, caving in to one extreme or another. And so hopefully he now understands that in order to run the government, that's not something that he can do by himself, or just simply because he wants it to be. And, you know, Ann Coulter she turned on him today, and hopefully he has learned his lesson, but we'll see. We'll see in the next 3 weeks.
There we go. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Lisa calling from Beltsville. Hey, Lisa, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I wanted to call in about the government employees versus the contractors. I know someone made comments about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, most contractors are not out of the woods. And I would like to remind people that this was a partial shutdown. So some agencies were still funded, and some contractors were still paid, and some government employees were still paid. However, depending on how your contract is written, a contracting company gets paid for hours worked. So, for example, 35 days, 30-plus days of a shutdown, those were hours lost. And if your contract is written in a certain way, in a certain manner, where you are not, or your company is not paid or penalized for not working a certain amount of hours for that contract, your employees will not be paid. So for a lot of contractors, and we're talking a million plus contractors, government contractors, are going to suffer. Some are going to lose homes, possibly, because it's a domino effect, right? We all know that when you miss a bill or two, something happens financially, it causes a snowball domino effect. And to miss a month worth of pay, and government contractors, for the most part, in some cases, make more than government employees. So if you have a contractor who's making $125,000, $130,000, $140,000, $50,000, to not see 1 month's worth of pay, you're talking possibly $10,000 more that they've just lost, and it's just gone, that
right.
They will never see and never be paid for.
And let me say, Lisa, that I think you bring up a great point, and let's talk about an even finer point. You may have the big contractors, the Boeings and the mm-hmm. Deloitte and Touches, where you know, their pockets are so deep, their money is so long, their people are getting paid on these contracts. But then you have, at the other end of the spectrum, you have the mom and pop shops, and sometimes it's just mom or it's just pop. And they may be providing a custodial service, and they may have five employees, and like you said, that contract may only be for $150,000 or $200,000, or it could even be a contract. It could be a 3 month contract for $50,000 or $60,000, and you're doing the work, but then all of a sudden, the floor drops out. So you're absolutely right, and you're absolutely on point. Mm-hmm. Are you a federal government worker, or are you a contractor, subcontractor? What?
I am actually a contractor now. I was a staff employee for an intelligence agency, and then I switched over to contracting. And honestly, thank God, I ended up on a contract that did not suffer because of this shutdown. And I just want to make one clarification. When you have smaller companies, veteran-owned companies, women-owned companies, where they may only have one government contract that was worth maybe $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if it's written in such a way that if the workers, the contractors, on that contract do not meet a certain amount of hours, then the government will not pay the contracting company. And again, it's a woman-owned contracting company, a veteran-owned contracting company. They don't have the overhead to pay their employees, the contractors, the money that they've lost because the government won't pay them because they did not meet the demands of the contract for the hours worked because of the government shutdown.
Well, there you go. Lisa, listen, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and your expertise. And we hope that the end of this will bring you some relief as well, even if it's down the road. So again, thank you so much for sharing with us, and we appreciate you listening. Need to take a break. When we come back, what does Roger Stone and his arrest by the FBI in Florida today have to do with this, if anything at all? Nicole has some thoughts about that as well. We'll talk about it. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment.
Since 1989, Trees for the Future has planted over 155 million trees around the world through the...
I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about the end of the federal government shutdown. Big news today, probably for the very first time, we did not see Roger Stone, the silver fox, in all of his sartorial splendor. We saw him in a golf shirt and jeans, and he was handcuffed wrist and ankle. For those of you who do not know who Roger Stone is, can you give me a quick Roger Stone crib note? Why is Roger Stone so important, Nicole?
Oh, Roger Stone is extremely, clearly extremely important to the Mueller investigation. He is one of Donald Trump's longtime friends. They have been friends for decades now, and he was working with the Trump campaign early on in the campaign. I think later on, I don't know if he was fired or just pulled back from the campaign, but according to the indictment paperwork that was released earlier today by the Mueller team, that apparently he was the direct contact to WikiLeaks on behalf of the campaign and trying to obtain the information that WikiLeaks was putting out there about Hillary Clinton and her emails and the Russia probe and things like that. And if you remember, you know, WikiLeaks, it's been shown that Assange went to Russia, sought asylum in Russia because of the reporting that he was doing. And so this indictment today is a little bit different than all of the other previous indictments that have come down. And I think it's going to be very interesting to kind of see how this plays out because Roger Stone is so close to the president and apparently was the one they're alleging the direct contact between the campaign and WikiLeaks. So
here's the interesting irony for those who are not really familiar with some of the political nuances. And Dr. Carr, I'm sure you could speak to this as well. When Roger Stone came out of the federal courthouse today in Fort Lauderdale, it was said today this was the best and worst day of his life because Roger Stone is not afraid of media. He's been talking quite a bit throughout this investigation, but he came out arms upstretched with the peace sign. That sign, we've not seen that kind of peace sign, the double arm peace sign in 40 years or so. That was Richard Nixon's signature. Roger Stone worked as a political consultant for Richard Nixon and the committee to re-elect the president. He has a tattoo of Richard Nixon on his back. Yes, that is not a fable. It is true. The irony about all of that is that some would argue that we're in that same situation now. A special prosecutor investigation, discussions about impeachment, and a cast of characters, if they haven't already gone to jail, have been convicted or pleaded, indicted, and lots of discussion. It can't be lost on you that what's old is new again.
No, it's true. In fact, we might even be looking at the end game of the cycle that began with Watergate. Many of the same players, whether it be Roger Stone, as you say, whether it be potentially interfering with Mueller, the special prosecutor, whether it be the arc of this notion that the president can do whatever he wants, a strong executive power philosophy that really comes with the Nixon administration, with people like Donald Rumsfeld that gives its real voice and Dick Cheney for George W. Bush, and now with Donald Trump saying he can call an state of emergency. All these things really come out of the response to the civil rights movement, and Nixon is, as they called it then, the champion of the silent majority. From Nixon to Reagan to Trump. Trump with his red Make America Great hats again, a riff on Reagan coming into power at the same time Nixon comes into power as the governor of California, Reagan, and then riding his horse from the West to come to the presidency. Finally, I think Roger Stone knows exactly what he's doing. This is the end game for Roger Stone. Just like Ford pardoned Nixon, Roger Stone is reminding Donald Trump, hey, whatever Mueller does as he builds this case, you got those pardons in your back pocket, and I expect you to take care of me, because otherwise I'm going to blow the whistle and everybody going to jail. I think there are a lot of parallels. Everybody. I mean, no, but Harold, you put your finger on it, bro. Yeah. That double P sign, that was a message, bro. That was no accident.
Absolutely. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Yakisha, calling from Upper Marlboro. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind is that I just wanted to share with everyone that is affected by the furlough. Mm-hmm. I am a government worker. I work for the United States Postal Service. And I know it's government, but it's not actually the federal government. But I just wanted to say that I have been affected because I haven't been paid since May. But
what?
If you
what?
Put,
what? Since May?
Since May 23rd, you guys.
Explain that to me.
Okay, let's explain it. First and foremost, I have a back injury at Postal Service. I was a mail courier, and I injured myself back in 2006. So I slipped 5 discs in my back.
Okay.
And
are you on disability or what?
No, I went back to work in 2015. Full-time, but as a secretary, but the Department of Labor is under the impression that I am a custodian, which I'm not, but I was doing custodian work as of this past 2 years.
Okay, I don't have a lot of time, and I don't want to get down into the weeds where, because I'm starting to get confused myself.
To everyone, yeah, but is that to keep faith and put God first and know that even through your toughest battles that if you put him first, he will make a way.
Yeah, let us hope so for not only the Yakishas from Upper Marlboro, but the other 800,000 federal government
people
workers. Yeah,
that have been affected for 30 days. Try being affected for over since May.
Yeah. Yeah.
With no pay.
Mm. Well, look, you hang in there, and certainly thank you so much for listening and giving us a call and giving us something to think about. I only have a few minutes left. One of the other things, Nicole, that a lot of people are saying is that even though there has been the drip, drip, drip of public opinion, the polls, these really, really difficult to watch soup kitchen food line kinds of situations, there is an argument that the big issue was the air traffic controllers and the TSA workers who didn't show up today, and that airports in New York, Philadelphia, here in D.C., BWI, and also in New Jersey and in Florida were affected. When you have planes lined up on the runway sitting because air traffic controllers are not there to do the job, do you think that that really was the big straw?
I think it was a large chunk of it. I think that was one of the main catalysts that kind of caused, you know, both sides, or at least the White House, to say, okay, I'm ready to do something. You know, it wasn't necessarily, you know, obviously the workers have been affected, but I think when you start to see in real time, you know, the fact that not only are these people unable to get to work, but the effect that that has on our national economy, the effect that that has on our infrastructure. I mean, I think even the FBI director came out with an unprecedented remark about the effects that this was having on the FBI's ability to do their job. So now you're messing with our national security interests. You know, you want to make the argument that the border wall that you quote unquote need is in the interest of national security, but then shutting down the government also hurts our national security. And so I think, you know, Trump is, like someone said, he watches TV every day. So he's a very visual person. You know, I think when he sees the pictures of the planes not moving, mm-hmm. he can comprehend that. And so I think that was a yeah. That kind of caused finally cooler heads to prevail.
And you just made me think about something, you know, Dr. Carr. The president has done so much talking about, you know, the brown people south of the border. I think that the badge people, the people who carry badges for our federal government,
that's right.
Whether they are TSA or FBI,
that's
or
right.
CIA, that alphabet soup, when you anger those people, when you really restrict the work that they're able to do, I would imagine that it would even give him pause.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's surrounded by federal workers, and not just surrounded by federal workers. He's surrounded by people whose livelihood depends on those federal workers. Anybody who's been in town here with us over the last 3 weeks knows that down there on the mall, Smithsonian Mall, not only is it a ghost town, so are the restaurants, so mm-hmm. are the parking garages.
Which before I go, because I've got to get off here. The museums will open tomorrow.
Oh, excellent.
They will be, yeah, they will open tomorrow.
And everybody guarding everything down there is black and brown, brother. So I can tell you right now. But it isn't just D.C. It's every city where there's federal government workers.
Yeah.
So Donald Trump, if anything, you know he paranoid. He's looking around now. You got to look at everybody you're looking at because you don't know who you hurt with this thing.
Yeah, well, you don't want to take money away from folks who say they're going to take a bullet for you.
That's true. That's true.
Dr. Greg Carr and Nicole Williams, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you. A
really good weekend. We appreciate your intellect and your expertise. So again, thank you so much. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, January 25th, 2019. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Iron Waller, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.
The Howard University.